Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Saturday, the 25th of January, 2025, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on and Professor Jim Fetzer. And with that said, I'm going to let you go first, Jim, and bring out the latest information on Trump.
Well, there's so much going on here, Stu. Yes, his Secretary of Defense and head of Homeland Security have both been confirmed except, and Naomi. This is all very positive. Meanwhile, State Department issued a widespread pause on foreign aid, initially believed to include Ukraine, made exception for Israel and Egypt, but according to the Department of Defense, according to the Pentagon, in fact, it's not going to affect weapon deliveries to Ukraine, which would have been a very good thing. Fascinating development that Vladimir Putin, during an interview, said that had the 2020 election not been stolen from Donald Trump, perhaps a crisis in Ukraine that arose in 2022 wouldn't have happened. He explained that Biden wasn't willing, the Biden admin wasn't willing to even talk to Russia about it. And I think it's because they were all in on the plot to try to destroy Russia using Ukraine as the mechanism, and therefore they weren't going to be cooperative with Putin. But he appears to be very open to discussion with Trump, and I believe, in fact, it's highly likely that that war is going to be resolved rapidly. Incidentally, Russia and Ukraine recently exchanged soldiers. Ukraine gave 49 Russian soldiers in return for 757 Ukrainian. That's very indicative of the rate at which a death has been occurred. For every dead Russian, there were 15 dead Ukrainians. That tells you everything you need to know about the way the war has been going on. The Times also makes a damning admission. Western intelligence agencies have been reluctant to disclose their internal calculations of Ukrainian casualties for fear of undermining an ally. American official previously said Kiev withheld his information from even its closest. That's, of course, because they're losing in staggering numbers. I was taken aback when Donald Trump the other day made casual remarks. He said the Russians had lost 800,000 to 900,000, the Ukrainian 400,000 to 500,000, when the situation is very much the opposite. Ukraine's lost over 1 million men, Russia maybe 150,000. I'm very disturbed. Trump may not be being provided with accurate information. Joel.
I agree with what you're saying there, Jim, but what I like to do is why does this constant pushing to go after the Ukraine, particularly by certain people within our own State Department, like John Bolton and some of the other neocons, of why they keep pushing for a destruction through war of young men. They are, because Ukrainian young men are the cousins of the Russians. Why does this go on? Why does this continue going on, or this death of Ukrainian young men? It's something to think about.
By the way, John, I had something. John Bolton and Tony Fauci, and some others have lost their Secret Service protection, and the whole bit that's been announced.
Trump eliminated it.
Go ahead, Jim. What you were on? Jim.
Correct that he's taken away security detail from Fauci and U.S. Marshal protecting him. Also, he's removed the access to intelligence, the security access for the 51 intelligence agencies who falsely reported that the Hunter laptop was Russian disinformation. More importantly, he made a stunning speech at Davos by Zoom outlining American policies far surpassing what anyone might hope for. It was incredible. Here are some of the key points. He intends to defeat inflation. He's imposed a federal housing freeze, a foreign aid freeze, and created a Department of Government Efficiency. He's ended the Green New Deal, withdrawn from the Paris Accord, ended the electric car mandate, declared a national emergency, extract more oil, boost manufacturing, making the world capital of AI and crypto, he intends, made deregulation a top authority, tax cuts across the board, countries that don't invest in America will pay tariffs, large investments by tech companies and other governments have been announced, lower oil prices will help end the Ukraine war, active duty U.S. military and National Guard are being deployed to the southern border. Let me add as an aside, we're going to have a real war with the cartels. Censorship by the government has been stopped, including misinformation and disinformation levels. He's ending the weaponization of law enforcement, entered DEI. There are, again, only two genders in the U.S. Transgender surgeries are going to become rare. NATO's going to be required to pay 5% of GDP, up from the 2%. Trump claims credit for a ceasefire in the Middle East and the hostage exchange. He'll secure a settlement between Russia and Ukraine. He plans to take corporate tax rate of 15%, recognizing conservatives are being targeted by banks and that is wrong. He believes the Canadian trade deficit must be recalibrated, that other nations have been taking advantage of the U.S. He wants to meet with Putin and end the war. He proposed relation with China for the next 4 years as to close the trade deficit. He wants to work toward denuclearization with the cooperation of Russia and China. Plans on making a peace agreement with Russia and Ukraine a priority. Here's part of what he had to say. Ukraine is ready to make a deal, just so you understand. This is a war that should have never started. If I were president, it would never have started. This is a war that should have never, ever been started, and it wasn't started during mine. It wasn't even talk about it. I think the thing that you'll see about Ukraine is that far more people have died than is being reported. And I've seen that, but far more people have died. When you look at a city, it's become a demolition site where big buildings have collapsed by missiles hitting and everything else, and they say one person was slightly injured. No. Many were killed. It was a wonderful statement, made a tremendous impression. I think every American ought to be very proud.
Joe, you want to comment on that?
Oh, yeah. Again, what is it that is that driving force that caused such a destruction? Where did it come from? What was it about? And to me, it all has to, going way back to 2014 when Victoria Nuland and her neocons
at the State Department,
the Ukraine, and interfered with the elections. And so, again, it is a group of people that are after that mineral-rich country called the Ukraine. I do not think it's going to end, because they're always going to push because of Ukraine and its mineral riches.
Now, you two may not be aware of it, but Daddy Bush sold biological chemical agents to the Ukraine when he was president. And they were transferred from K-State out in Manhattan, Kansas, where they have a testing ground. The government has a a bio lab out there. They also have this top secret liquefaction, and it was designed to where two Marines can, as an example, in a battlefield in Iraq or someplace, they can set a machine, two of them can carry it and set it down on one side 10 miles away, and there's a whole battalion of tanks in there and men, and they set the same machine on the opposite side 10 miles away, and they crank them on at the same time, and the ground becomes liquefaction like quicksand. They call it liquefaction. It's top secret. They developed those at the K-State. And that liquefaction can take Manhattan Island, as an example, and they can make every building drop into the ground. It just becomes quicksand. Well, biological chemical agents were made there, and I have a witness, an attorney, and the whole bit, former county prosecutor, or county assistant attorney in Colorado, is quite aware of this, and her husband, and they tried to expose it, and they had to leave the country. And they got the largest biological chemical waste dump in the world. It's all, if that thing were to be hit, the whole planet's going to be wiped out. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. That's in the Ukraine because of Daddy Bush. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think... Joe and I may have slightly different takes because I believe Ukraine will be settled, but it will be settled on Russian terms. They will not give out the territory, the Crimea, the Donbass, and the other oblasts. Ukraine will not be allowed to become a part of NATO. Russia won't be required to pay reparations. I think Trump is showing a lot of realism in so many different ways. I'm very, very impressed. On the other hand, there are a couple of signs I find rather distressing. For example, there's a report that the Trump team is mulling the temporary relocation of Gaza residents to Indonesia. No such relocation would be temporary. This sounds to me very consistent with Mike Huckabee, who's a Zionist loon, our new ambassador to Israel designate, who claims, yeah, it's just fine to have a Palestinian state, but it must be outside the borders of Israel. I don't like that at all. Meanwhile, we have the U.S. government giving minority status to Jewish-owned businesses, conferring billions of benefits, when they are the most successful and wealthy businessmen in the country. Giving them minority status is simply absurd. I can hardly believe that it's taking place, that such a thing should be done. It's like a bribe or a benefit. It's simply ridiculous. The influence of what are often referred to as the Jews, but it's really the Zionist Jews who are the problem, is simply overwhelming. Look at this. Jews are overrepresented. Only like 2% of our population. But among the big six media corporations and their senior executives are overrepresented by 3,750%, among Hollywood studio senior executives by 4,150%, among TV broadcast network senior exec by 4,400%, music label and ops 3,900%, radio broadcast 3,050%, among advertising corporation 3,350%. They're only 2% of the world, but there was 60% of Biden's cabinet. There's 75% of Ivy League presidents. There's 90% of Hollywood film studio execs. There's 83% of the world's richest execs. 55% of American billionaires. 63% of the top donors' presidential campaigns. 90% of all presidential children's spouses. It goes on and on. And of course, we know in the Trump admin, 60% of his nominees are Jewish, and 100% of them are Zionists. This is a major, major problem. He's doing a lot of good. He's sending troops to the border. He had 1,500. He's going to send 10,000 more. It's going to be very real. He's ordered the release of the January 6 hostages. that's going to be a challenge. Paul Craig Roberts described it as the litmus test for Donald Trump. Why? Because the bureaucracy, Washington, D.C., the mayor is refusing to release them. I believe this is going to require sending U.S. Marshals to emancipate. This is outrageous. But the big concern I have with Trump is not on any other issue than our relationship with Israel and his enthusiasm for Zionism and seemingly willingness to support the ongoing genocide. Continue.
I'm going to... Go ahead, Joel.
What explains it, if take a look at an IDF, and you'll see a patch, and it shows Greater Israel, which means that it extends its border all the way up to Iraq.
Now, isn't the Antichrist supposed to start war with the whole world, Joe?
Well, I don't know about the dispensationalism, but I can tell you this. When you see that patch on an IDF infantryman, it means something.
You know, I want to speak about Israel, where it came from. This was the Khazarian Jews, which are in Khazar, which is Ukraine. And during World War II, they were General Rafael Eitan, and Michael Hariri, who became the head of the Mossad. His father was working with General Michael Hariri. And they were given the true Palestinians, or the true Hebrews, they were called, of ancient times. And a professor, it's up on my website, the video was, and they've taken it down off of YouTube, and I wish I'd saved it, but I think you saw it, Joe. He did a study for 5 years and $5 million grant to find out the true Hebrews of ancient times. And they turned out to be the Palestinians. Well, it happens to be that those that were Christian were being executed by Adolf Hitler, quite a few of them. They said, oh, the Holocaust, those were the ones. But it was Michael Hariri, who was head of Mossad a few years ago until he died, and General Rafael Eitan, Michael Hariri's father, and Rafael Eitan, were the ones that were given Adolf Hitler the ones to execute. They were the ones that went into the state of Palestine in 1947, hung their flag, killed 40,000 people, hung their Israeli flag, the Star of David. I don't think so. You look at that star, and it's the same thing as I think they call it a hexagram or whatever it is, which is a satanic emblem. Now, they go in there and slaughter 40,000 Palestinians and bury them in mass graves and drive the rest over towards the coast to where they're at now in Palestine. And they declared Israel as a nation. Now, in 1948, they went for the UN and they were declared to be an official state. These are the Jews that control the money supply worldwide. These are the Jews that are tied to the Denver Group, the Mizell Group, my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, who died and left it to Larry Mizell, known as the 12 Disciples of Satan. Rockefeller, Rothschild, Anwar ben Sharia, the head rabbi in Israel, Leonard Millman, and then the fallen angel, as Otis Johnson, Super Spook, told me, called me up after he was dead the day after, told me he's dead, and he says, well, I said, good, that's going to get me some relief. He says, hell, he says, you put so much heat on Larry Mizell. He said they had Silverado running for Millman, and Brownstein is the two attorneys for him. He said, you put so much heat on them. He says, Mizell, whatever occupied your ex-father-in-law, occupied him for, had lived for thousands of years before he occupied Leonard. Now he's occupying Mizell because Mizell did such a great job for the commission, the 12 Disciples of Satan. So they appointed him. Now, Mizell, I've been posting some stuff about that group, and one of the things I posted was that Global Crossings that they owned and bankrupted, and then to transfer the assets of this telecommunication company a few years back, 97 I believe it was, they sold it to a Chinese company that owns the Panama Canal. Well, Hillary Clinton was down there with Chinese intelligence, Patrick Fong, intelligence Chinese. He was bringing the Chinese heroin, the white heroin, white cocaine, or white heroin, I think they call it, China white heroin, into the country. He was tied up with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton when they were Arkansas first Lesbol and the governor, Clinton. And they were running the MENA Arkansas drug operation with Ollie North bringing guns and drugs in and the whole bit. But anyway, Worthington Bank is owned by the Chinese intelligence officer Patrick Fong. In exchange, he was bringing Chinese trusts over to America. You had to be a China national in order to form a trust in China. He was bringing these trusts over, giving them to Hillary Clinton at the Rose Law Firm, and she would pass those trusts up to Norman Brownstein, the attorney in Denver, that was on the board of directors of Silverado Savings, where Neil Bush laundered $12 trillion of Iran-Contra drug money in 9 years, and then it collapsed, because I helped to collapse it. I'm the one that exposed it. And they had congressional hearings on it. And Bill Black, my friend, is a University of Missouri professor at UMKC, was the one that shut him down working for FISLA at the time after I caused the scandal. Now, these people are the ones that control Larry Fink. And they control BlackRock. They control Blackstone, which is the largest bank in the world. And it turns out to be Larry Fink who's running BlackRock, Blackstone. It turns out to be, there was an article published recently. It said that they were in control of two-thirds of the corporations throughout the world now. And they also have, and Milman was handed from the Jewish mob, Meyer Lansky, the control box that of Power Financial of Canada, which Milman had taken over, because Meyer was the one to possess, and then it possessed Milman and this fallen angel. And then he turns around and creates Great West Life of Denver. Great West Life of Denver owns HSCB Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, which is they're in many countries. And about every 6 months to a year, one of their vice presidents of one of their locations in one of their countries gets popped by federal officials in their country for narcotics money laundering. That's where they're doing it through. And then Mizell, after Milman had died, he takes over the Bank of Israel. Well, the Bank of Israel was a state bank, not to be sold to a private individual, but they sold it. Omar, the president of Israel, allowed it. Well, Omar was indicted over it, but he escaped it, got off the charges. Later, he got indicted for about the 12th time on bribery charges, and he went to jail for 6 years. Now, this is probably 6, 7, 8 years ago he got nailed. I just want to give you some history about Denver. Denver is a very dangerous place. And I've posted some stuff to allow the president to see it. He's seen it because I've been posting up there on, they call it, Jim, you want to send your radio shows or send a message to the president, you go to www.45office.com. www.45office.com and you can post stuff there. Now, recent stories that I put up intentionally that lead to Denver, and there's a reason for it, Jim. Silverado Milman gave narcotics money to start Blackstone or BlackRock, whichever it was first. And he did it with Pete Peterson of the Council of Foreign Relations, set him up and buying up shopping centers. Go buy shopping centers. So he did. He did for years, and then in 1997, this was in 87, then in 1997, all that drug money had bought up all these huge shopping centers across America, which they were fixing up selling. Now, they're not selling, but fixing up and renting. Now, BlackRock, I'll get off here in a second.
My apologies. I gotta take off. Keep going. You're on a roll, my friend. Wonderful stuff. Keep it up.
Okay. If you take $1 of drug money and put it into a corporation, a company or whatever, the United States government can confiscate every friggin' thing you've got. BlackRock was started with drug money from Iran-Contra, from Ollie North and Daddy Bush and Hillary Clinton and the whole gang. President Trump can confiscate that. They own two-thirds of the corporation stock throughout the world in a recent publication on Fink. Larry Fink, that controls it for him. He's just a front guy. He's a billionaire, but he's a front guy for Mizell and the Denver crowd. Now, so that's one thing the president can do is confiscate the entire thing. We're out of debt. Two-thirds of the world corporations are controlled by BlackRock, Blackstone. So that could be done. Now, I've intentionally put up a few other things on my website because one of those trusts was passed, not one, hundreds of these Chinese trusts were passed up, and it was illegal for Patrick Fung, the Chinese intelligence supplying the heroin, the China white heroin to America through MENA, Arkansas, had Worthington Bank. Worthington Bank was laundering their money there. Chinese intelligence officers cannot own a bank in America, but they did. Worthington Bank of Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, those trusts were passed to Brownstein. Brownstein set up the trust that owns the Panama Canal, this company. I just posted it up on an article. It says, Global Crossing sold to China that owns the Panama Canal. So, because this was derived originally, these trusts and all this stuff was set up illegal, and this is all drug operations. Drug money's been injected to all these corporations and trusts and everything else they have. They can confiscate the Panama Canal back from them. Now, I put up another story intentionally because I'm trying to light different politicians up in news media that have been hammered Trump. 911 Whittle questions why MSNBC host Joe Scarborough silenced her over dead GOP aide. He was a congressman, and he knew of something that she found out about. She got killed, and then he resigned. Leonard Peltier, known as Billy Jack, the movie, to be no longer in prison. Now, I was in jail with him in Denver, Colorado, being held as a political prisoner for exposing this stuff. Silverado, the Denver airport, the Keating 5, the dub, the MDC 200, and the HUD scandal. And they locked me up for 10 and a half months. Peltier was being transferred from another prison in Illinois over to Supermax down in Pueblo. And it's all underground. Supermax. They put you in there and make you go nuts after a year to 3 years. Peltier was innocent. Super Spook, Otis Johnson, was in there under protective custody because he was busting the Louisiana governor from the Canadian bank tied by Zell and Milman again. And he was in there still running Casey operation. He was Casey's assistant after Casey had gotten murdered by Bush. Now, he was in the same cell with another guy, Richard, who was a CIA cop from New York that busted John Gotti. He was in protective custody. When Peltier came through there, Otis says, "Hey, that's Leonard Peltier." And the other one says, "Yeah, I see that." He says, "Stu, you need to go talk to him." So they talked to me in private in their cell. I went and talked to Peltier. And what it was is Leonard Peltier has probably been in jail for 50 years. He was innocent. He was an Indian on a reservation in North Dakota. Indian reservation. Now, the Indians are allowed to sell their oil to oil companies. They were selling it to Chevron Oil Company, Daddy Bush. And Chevron would go in, they would have to send in two federal agents, FBI agents, would go in and read the meter after they had pumped oil from the Indian reservation. Now, the Indians split up that money among all the tribes up there, the money from the oil. And they've been loaded with oil. Anyway, Leonard Peltier finds out that these two FBI agents are pulling the meter off and resetting the meter and cheating them out about 90% of their revenue. And it's going right into Daddy Bush's pocket, Chevron. Anyway, so Peltier, he's videoing all this stuff with a couple other Indians, and they said, "Man, we're going to have to do something. We are going to have to go out of jurisdiction." So they went to another jurisdiction of the FBI that wasn't associated with that particular jurisdiction where they were setting back the meter. The two FBI agents, good guys, go out on the date and the time that they're supposed to be out there reading the meter, the two bad FBI agents, and they catch them pulling the meter. So when they approach them, the bad FBI agents shoot the good FBI agents that are there to arrest them. Peltier gets blamed for it, and they make a movie later about him, Billy Jack. I just thought I'd throw that out. That's one of my stories up there because I'm going to be interviewing him as soon as he's available to be interviewed. Now, California water supply, how the Westlands was won. Here's Larry Mizell again. Here's Norman Brownstein again. And here that was the water that was supposed to come down to Los Angeles and feed the farmland along the way, and they've been dumping it into the Pacific Ocean instead of taking it down to where it's supposed to be. We could have had the fires out in Los Angeles if it hadn't been for these two punks. It's called California Water Supply, How the Westlands Was Won, January 22nd, 2025. Now, Charles Schumer has been sold out for years. Senator Charles Schumer. He's a real character. He's what I call a shithead. Now, let me see what the title is. Hold on. It kind of jumped on me. Damn it. I'm sorry. Hang on. Senator Charles Schumer, blackmailed. Or, excuse me. Senator Charles Schumer, bribed, blackmailed by Bush, Milman, Clinton crime family, should be indicted. Boulder Properties. Then there, it's from the book Al Martin, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, that I got his book published, The Conspirators. And there's an article in there about me, written by Yuri DeBanco, about this situation. And then I took from the original transcripts of his book that I have on a PDF that I sent. And I'll send you a copy, Jim, and I'll send you a copy, Joel. Just keep them to yourself. Because I had ownership in that, I never got any money. They ended up killing him. Now, there's another show that Joe and I did together, and I did this out of memory. And it's called October Surprise, How President Jimmy Carter, October Surprise, How George H.W. Bush Stole the Election. They crashed two helicopter and an airplane. An admiral flew them in a dust storm, intentionally over in the Gulf. And a friend of mine, a Marine, was on that ship at the time and had mutiny. They brought the ship back to the United States and they arrested that admiral for doing that. They knew he did it intentionally, ordering him to crash right in the cockpit. I mean, right in the, you know, headed in the ship's, what do they call them, Joe, or Jim, headquarters. But they crashed him. But Daddy Bush flew over with who I've met in person, Heinrich Rupp, who was Adolf Hitler's pilot at 17, defected, went to the OSS. He lived in Aurora, Colorado. He worked for Daddy Bush as far as melting down gold and for Milman. They blamed him for the bank failure of Aurora Bank. The whole story's in there. But Bob Hunt, who was Office of Naval Intelligence, Lieutenant Commander, Lieutenant Commander, Naval SEAL team that captured Noriega, he was held in jail where I was, being evaluated in Springfield, which the government said, the shrink said, nothing's the matter with me. I shouldn't have ever been sent there, and they saw no evidence of wrongdoing for me to be arrested. Now, and the judge dismissed the charges, which would have been a felony, terroristic death threats to Jewish families in Denver. No. Go to Radio Bar 1, you can hear the whole story of me calling Leonard Milman and the whole bit, trying to work a deal after my tires were blown out on the freeway in Kansas City. I knew he was involved 2 months before they issued the warrant for my arrest. But in that radio broadcast, I detail where Bush flies over to France, pays Bonnie Sadar $70 million in cash from Valley Bank in Phoenix, Arizona, which they had just picked up, and flew it over there and paid him off and flew back in an SR-71 to be at a meeting in New York so he could deny that he ever went over there and paid him off. But the two pilots, Gunther Rossbacher and Harry Rupp, both I had communicated with and become friends with, they were the ones that flew him over there. And Bob Hunt, I met in Springfield, walking the track with Bo Abbott, the DEA pilot that was busted, killed his wife and shit. He moved to Switzerland, so he decided after they killed his wife, adopted a kid out, 45-day-old kid, and he was going to testify how the DEA in Dallas, Texas, Addison, was involved in drug smuggling into the United States of America. And he was a pilot for the DEA. Now, we used to walk the track. They told me horror stories. But Bob admitted he was the team on the ground protecting Bush on the tarmac in France when Bush paid Bonnie Sadar. The details are in that radio show. Then there's another posting up there about Tucker Carlson interviewing, I put these up just in the past week, interviewing Robert F. Kennedy. And Robert F. Kennedy says that the CIA planning division are the assassins who killed President John F. Kennedy and, or were involved in killing John F. Kennedy, and the planning division of the CIA, which is out of control, killed his father, Robert Kennedy Sr. Now, that's a pretty heavy deal that's in there that Robert Kennedy made. Anyway, with that, you, Jim, Go ahead. Jim, are you there? Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I think it's Rob ended there, Stu.
Okay.
Because Jim is not altogether.
Well, do you have anything to say about President Trump? I'm seeing all kinds of action where he's, you know, he's fired 17 inspector generals. One inspector general is over the agency's folks. They're the top cop of that agency. If it's the inspector general of HUD, he's the top cop of HUD. If the inspector general, they've got assistant inspector generals as well. But he has fired 17 of the top, I guess, yesterday.
Well, he's fired them, but they may not be fired because Trump, according to them, did not follow the protocol. In other words, you have to go through certain steps to release them from their job, and Trump didn't do it.
Well, there'll probably be court battles over it and all that, but it looks like to me he's cleaning house, and he's pulling the security off of Bolton and Fauci, Tony Fauci, that created the AIDS, or not AIDS, but the pandemic, with his China, you know, a laboratory over there. I mean, this guy was working for the Defense Department, creating biological chemical agents, which spread throughout the world that caused the pandemic. Fauci should be taken and arrested and hung for what he's done. Now he's cut the security off from these different people. I think that's great. And, of course, releasing all the J6ers. You know, I heard testimony, Joe. January the 6th, here's the FBI director that just resigned, Frey, or whatever his name is, sitting up there testifying before Congress, and they ask him the question, were there any FBI agents involved in the break-in of the Capitol on January the 6th? He says, no. Were there any FBI agents there? No. So then another congressman asked him, or senator asked him, he says, what about the FBI human resources? These are criminals that the FBI says, keep you out of jail for, instead of going to jail for 20 years, you come work for us and go spy on Stu Webb. Or you go spy on Joe, Professor Joe. Or you go do damage to the vehicle or to them. These are the people. They were the FBI human resources. I forgot what they said. About 19 or 20 of them were inside the Capitol, broke windows out, beat up cops, and did other stuff. And they, you know, they were arrested. They were let out the back door, and they were never charged. They were the instigators of that January the 6th. Break out the windows, break into the Capitol. I mean, we got a government's out of control. And they call this, what's the word for this? It's your political opponents. Go after them. Well, Trump's shutting that down. Now, we got confirmation for Defense Secretary, and we got confirmation for the Secretary, or the National Security Director. We got confirmation on that. They're going to be sworn in. Now we got Tracy Gappert, and we've got some other great people of Hawaii. She's going to be National Intelligence Service, or in charge of the Director of National Intelligence. Oh, God. It's going to be good. Pam Bodie, former Attorney General of Florida. She's fantastic. I've talked to her before. She was in Florida over about Jeb Bush. I think Gene Tatum was on the phone with me at the time. Anyway. Joe, you got anything else, Dan?
That's it.
Okay, buddy. Thank you for doing the show. And Jim, I guess he decided to get off and let me roll. But anyway, thank you, Jim Fetzer. Thank you, Professor Joe. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk, Joe.